Hey guys, Lance Erlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ground ball. Dubon throws to first. Goal! Hitter! Renaud Blanco, in his eighth career start, the 30-year-old makes magic on April Fool's Day.
Congratulations to Renaud Blanco. Nobody saw this coming except Renaud. He felt it coming out of the bullpen, I would imagine. Executed beautifully, worked extremely well with Yiner Diaz. But after a four-game skid, Renaud Blanco is the one that stops it in grand fashion with a no-no.
There it was last night. Holy cow. What a way to win their first game of 2024. Congratulations to Joe Espada, okay? And I want to thank Dusty Baker as well.
Sure. Everything he did with Yiner Diaz.
Yiner Diaz. We have to thank him for holding Yiner back. Now, this is something for all the pitchers, though. Maybe Yiner can call a good game, okay? So maybe we can stop with the Maldonado. Dude called a no-hitter last night, and it was Renaud, of all people, Renaud Blanco. But he looked great this spring.
He
really did.
I thought he had moments last year.
Yeah.
You know, he's a weird story. He's an unusual story. Renaud Blanco right now is going to turn 31 in August. Like, he's going to be a 31-year-old. He's older than Fromber. He's older than everybody on your starting rotation other than, and I think that includes, I believe, Lance McCullers. McCullers, he's probably around the same age. But Renaud Blanco didn't even get to the majors until 2022. He didn't get to the majors until 2022 when he was 28 years old. So this is an unusual situation to set up. But, you know, in some ways, it's a little bit like Mike Fiers, where Mike Fiers kind of came out of nowhere and threw a no-hitter for the Astros, too. I know I hate saying the name.
Why you got to put Mike Fiers after he threw a no-hitter for you?
Because Mike Fiers threw a no-hitter.
Is he a rat too?
I hope not, but we'll find out over the next few years.
Oh, my goodness.
But Mike Fiers threw one out of nowhere. You know, like, this guy's not going to go down in history as any kind of special pitcher, and he threw one. The Astros, do you know where they rank in terms of all-time no-hitters? Yeah. Where they were in Major League, amongst Major League teams.
First.
Second. Dodgers with 25, Astros with 17 now.
Well, the Dodgers have been around a lot longer.
Yeah. Sandy Koufax has five of them. But, had...
How many did Nolan have here? Two?
Nolan had one here. Just that one with a ground ball to Denny Walling over to first.
Can name all the no-hitters in Astros history.
Oh, my God. Well, I think...
Six pitchers count?
Yes.
There's two of them. They got two of those.
Yeah, they have a World Series no-hitter like that.
Yep.
They have a regular. They have the Yankees no-hitter. Yep. They have Mike Fiers. They have Renaud Blanco. They have Daryl Kyle. You have Justin Verlander.
Mike Scott.
That's seven. But
Nolan,
eight. You have. But here recently, you've had like six.
Yeah, right.
You've had six.
There's a lot. But
recently.
There's a lot more no-hitters.
Verlander, Blanco. The Astros six man. There's I got to go through them all, but
I didn't really 16. Want you to do that.
Yeah, just 17.
Seeing if you would bite on that.
But yeah, okay. I did.
Yeah, you did. What a night! It was a great night at the park. First of all, okay, there's a lot.
You had
of stuff.
A good video. Where were you?
I was there. I was at the game. I was there.
Del, did you see
I got to run downstairs. And take a nice video
you
of
You took
it.
A video of the last out right behind the nets, behind home plate.
Yeah, it was funny. I was standing next to Gene Diaz. He didn't know who I was. He was. I was like, "Hey, Gino, what's up?" He was like, "Hey,
media relations director."
Media relations director. I guess I haven't been there much lately.
You know, you're by your tawdry comments.
Huh? Yeah, but that's about it, probably. But I got to run down there and take a nice video for you guys, and I sent it to you. I didn't put it on social media because I knew I'd get lit up.
Oh, you ran down there?
I ran down there. Yeah, they let me come down just for that.
Yeah,
for that part.
He ran down there.
I ran down there. Yeah, uh-huh. That's right. I ran downstairs. Like
John, so you're, for people who don't know, beyond the fact that John will put up, clips if he's at a sporting event. Sometimes he doesn't want to. Doesn't want to spot it because he knows the flack he'll get. In the group chat, what he'll do is he'll go, look where I am, and it'll be a great view of something. So, once again, a tradition unlike any other, John showing us how good his life is.
Yes. That's not it.
Lance,
that's not it at all.
Lance,
I just want to share with you guys the experience that it was. Did I not send you the final pitch of the no-hitter, the celebration wouldn't have gotten from that angle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that bald guy's head that I got that view of. Thanks for that. He should go to – where should he go?
Doc Linville.
Thank you. You should have talked to him instead of Gene Diaz.
Yeah.
Talk to that guy in front of you. But
it's his favorite pastime.
Yeah. Well, being in a great spot, in a great view, in a great place, and showing us where he is. Yeah. That's what he loves
to
do. I'm
sure whatever you're doing is fun, too.
I was watching the game at home having a grand old time.
I'm sure whatever you're doing is fun, too.
Yeah, there's
So they get Vlad Guerrero. I saw hilarious. Chive said, he's on Twitter, he said, F you, Vlad Guerrero, you're lazy ass. Halfway jogs on every other time, but now all of a sudden you're hauling ass down the line trying to break up the no-hitter.
George was on deck. I was pretty close to him, and the guys were killing me because I would say, hey, George, let him have the no-hitter. And everybody around me was like, what is wrong with you? Yeah,
why did you say that out loud?
And what happened? Nothing. Nothing.
Okay,
he got the no-hitter.
You know who you remind me of? Brian McTaggart.
Oh, he was flexing yesterday.
And Steve Sparks.
He said, look what happened. I didn't jinx one again.
You know what? It's so stupid. Like somebody in the crowd or up in the press box is going to change a no-hitter. Y'all are dumb. That's just dumb. Okay? And George gave me a little nod. And you know what George did? Walked. He didn't put it in play and beat
two walks. That's all. No hits.
Two
walks.
I mean,
if you missed it yesterday and you're smarting from the sweep, or maybe you watched Iowa LSU or whatever the case may have been, it was a no hitter. Ronel Blanco had complete command yesterday. He had two walks, but he walked George. I mean, he walked George to lead the game off. Wait, did George get both the walks? He got both the walks.
Did George get both?
No. He got he did get both. He got both the walks. So no one else got a hit. Now you did have one ball kick off Blanco's foot, and
to
have Dubon make a nice play on it. They brought Dubon in as a defensive replacement for Altuve, and I don't know. I wonder if that would have, if Altuve gets to it, and makes the same play. I think so, but I don't know. I mean, Dubon is a Gold Glove winner. So from last year. So I don't know. Maybe that was one that ended up saving the no hitter. But Espada gets the W, his first one. Ronel Blanco with the no hitter. If you guys want to weigh in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I tell you what, the story is definitely Ronel Blanco, but the offense, wow, what an explosion!
And one of the stories is Pena finally hitting a home run.
It's do you know the date his last home run?
June. I don't know the exact date.
July 5th.
Oh, that's right. We went over it. Yeah.
July 5th.
Yeah, July 5th.
Last home run was July 5th. Holy crap.
He had the second longest streak of an everyday player that hadn't homered?
Probably. Yeah.
I
don't know. I didn't know that one, but I mean, he's got an OPS of just under 1,200 right now. He made some changes to a swing, got some things worked out.
Reggie Jackson.
Thanks, Reggie Jackson. Although, I guess not hitting coaches, not Alex Cintron doesn't get any benefit.
Why don't we relax? Because he actually talked about reworking a swing, and he did not mention Reggie Jackson.
All right, let's hear who he mentions. And while Reggie's sitting there going, hey, okay, a little something over here, Reggie Jackson.
And like I said, you put him...
Oh, he sounds like...
You know, in the spring, like I said, we put in a lot of work. Troy Snigger, Cintron, Rene Rojas, we got to work. And it's just kind of keeping that throughout the whole season. You know, maintaining the routine and then going from there.
Not one mention of Mr. October.
Well, Niall sent me a picture with Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Pena working it. Okay, maybe he just, okay, maybe that was what the key, but okay, if you don't want to credit that guy, Mr. Baseball, Mr. October,
so the hitting, fine. So the hitting coaches did get their flowers.
They got their love.
Reggie Jackson, not so much.
No, well, Reggie Jackson's got enough love in his life, right? I mean, does he need more?
Do you think, I know he spoke otherwise, but do you think he was like secretly fist pumping when Juan Soto was throwing guys out? He was like, yes!
You think because the Yankees?
Yes.
No, he was not. Mm. He's at all Astro okay. all the time.
Okay.
No, he ain't about that life.
I feel like
first Yankees 5-0 start in like forever, and they're you know what? It was much like last year. Remember last year the Yankees were, but right before the All-Star break, nobody can catch, and then they sucked.
Yankees and Dodgers were on a collision course.
Yep.
I was told that last year at that same time. Like this is an inevitable collision course.
Yep. So that. How about Yiner with 2-1? Holy crap, did he kill that ball up over the railroad tracks, destroyed it.
I'm telling you, he's going to be an all-star
which was
this
nice.
Year.
Abreu got a hit. Thank you.
Abreu got a hit. Kyle Tucker, 2 home runs.
Yep, Kyle Tucker.
Tuck is off to, you know, after a little bit of a slow start in a couple games, he's really starting to hit now.
Yeah, he wasn't great against the Yankees, but he's okay.
Yeah.
He came up with a hit that got thrown out of the plate, but he needs to make up for last postseason, which was awful.
Got 157 more games to go.
That's all. And, you know, other than that.
I mean, that's a big deal. Jake, you know, he had 6 homers. Jake, who got his second. You have 2 from Yiner. Yiner is becoming, I'm telling you, he's an all-star this year, but Yiner is going to become. I think you're going to see Yiner become one of the most heralded catchers in Major League Baseball. And I don't want to hear about calling games. We already know you get the attention for your hitting. That's it. No one says, just the pitch framing. That's not what anyone looks at when it comes to your national attention. Yiner is a big-time hitting catcher. That's what he's going to be known for. I think the pitch framing and all that stuff is going to come. The pitch calling is going to come. He's just, you know, getting into that. And the other thing is, you know, he's got an arm. He's got an arm to throw guys out.
He absolutely does.
At what point, his pop time's faster, but, man, is he a hitter.
At what point do they, in the offseason, do they put him at first base?
I mean, I think it needs to happen at some point because you could have a special hitter.
Is that
hitter.
Wasting his arm, though?
Possibly, but if you get a good, like, it's just the old adage, if you're a catcher who's a great hitter, You're going to waste their waste their career with legs with damage to the knees. I mean, that's why Craig Biggio, for a lot of people maybe are too young to know that Craig Biggio was drafted as a catcher, and they moved him out of there. A, Bish didn't have the arm, but B, they wanted to really take care of his knees because they knew they had something special.
Yep.
And it wouldn't shock me if something like that happened to Yiner Diaz where he became a full-time first baseman. In fact, that needs to happen.
And then there's Alex Bregman. As I told you, he's going to be an MVP. He's just off to a bit of a slow start with 3 more strikeouts last night.
Alex Bregman off to a slow start at the beginning of
a season?
That's
never happened.
Well, that's
never,
only the seventh year
ever
in a row.
Happened. 713 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The number, if you want to get in here, let's talk about that the basketball last night. It was very interesting. Whitey got a win finally. Whitey got the win. We will talk about it on the other side here on ESPN.
Whitey Bulger?
Is this the show we're doing?
I don't. Not after Rennell Blanco.
Rennell Blanco. Joe
Espada.
It was a big night for Whitey.
Our Latin players, Joe Espada, Joe Espada, our manager, our Latin player, Rennell Blanco, our Latin player, Yiner Diaz.
Jeremy Pena.
And now you're going to say
Whitey got a win.
Whitey got the wins. All right. That's what we'll do on the other side. But first, let's talk about, you know, where you can win? MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's where you play, win, and get paid. That's right, baby. That's where you go to get your bet on. What is it that you would like to bet on? And because they've got everything. It's just ridiculous how good it is, how easy it is. There's some sites that aren't nearly as easy to navigate. This one is simple. It's very simple. And so if you're a bit worried about going on and not sure how to do it, it's simple. It's self-explanatory. So you want to bet, win, get paid, you got that. You want bonus for putting your money in, you got that. Now, you ain't getting that with your local bookie. First of all, you ain't going to get, he ain't giving you more money to play with. They're going to give you 50% on top of whatever you deposit initially at mybookie.ag, but you got to put in promo code BET975. It is the place to play, win, and get paid. You're going to love the site. You're going to love everything about it. You can play casino games with live dealers, all of that stuff going on right now. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right, let me ask you a question. Would it be outrageous if the number one pick in the WNBA draft is Paige Bueckers?
Outrageous? No.
I don't think it'd be outrageous at all. There's a case to be made that she's actually a better player than Caitlin.
Well,
I mean, the numbers say it.
The star power is insane.
That's it.
But I mean, she also is the all-time assist leader, like, with somebody who has the ball in her hands at all times, yeah. She's responsible for a crap ton of
points. Well, it would make it outrageous because she's already announced she's coming back.
That Bueckers is coming back?
Yes.
Oh, she is coming back? Okay. Yes. So, Caitlin's already announced that she's coming out, right? Is she done?
Yeah, I believe so.
Angel didn't announce yesterday, did she?
No, that she said that a decision she makes after her final game. She said that beforehand, but she didn't make that announcement.
Honestly, Angel's making a ton of money.
Yeah, I think you know, I had a marketing director who he would know. He said, look, this money is going to follow them. It's not going to change unless there's a direct NIL deal that they're doing that has regional influence, which at this level, you're not, you know, they're beyond that. They're beyond the regional people. But the point was, if you've got a big time company like an Adidas or a Nike or whatever, that doesn't matter if you're in college or WNBA. Right. They're going to, because the college basketball has done such a great job of promoting them. But man, I got to think for a lot of them, this really, when you look at the WNBA, what they get paid, now they have elevated pay for special players, but I got to think that it's a tough decision.
Yeah.
No. I really do, because the money, like Angel Reese is going to, if you want to chase championships, so Jamal Shedd has a year left. If he wants to take it, he has a year left. I think this should, and supposedly the number's like $1 million for him to stay in. But honestly, if he can get anything near that, I'm not sure I wouldn't stay in and chase championships. I'm not sure where he gets drafted.
Yeah, right. I don't know that he's going to make an NBA roster, but with probably more than likely he does. But he's not a great prospect for the NBA.
He's not a He's not a shooter.
Yeah.
He's a Pat Beverly type. Yep. But Pat Beverly was a better 3-point shooter than people probably give him credit for.
Speaking of 3-point shooting, what do you think Caitlin Clark's? Do you guys know what she shoots?
I would
from
say
from three on the season,
mid 30s.
Yeah.
Shoots a ton. Yeah, she's probably about 36%.
She's 28.9.
For the season?
For the season.
She has to get up a lot of shots for that team to win games.
Yeah.
Wow.
She
28?
Puts up 12.7 per game and makes 3.7. She puts up 12.7. Bueckers, 42% 3-point shooter.
Hold on. She shoots 28% for the year?
For the year. 29%.
Well, she started taking some really
bad
shots.
Now, she takes NBA threes. I mean, she ain't afraid to
put her point.
Well,
making them yesterday, but what's her point? What's the point in taking the longest shot you can?
Well, that's the only place she's open.
Shot she gets.
Yeah,
as far as open ones, at least.
It is weird. Bueckers is probably a better player. The numbers all show. Well, she's 52% from the field, while Caitlin's 43. Yeah, Bueckers does have better teammates. Much better.
It'll be quote-unquote easier for her to get looks. Saw some of the things that were happening last night in that game against USC down the stretch where they were having her run off screens and get open looks. The Caitlin thing is she's the Luka of the of Iowa. I wouldn't call Bueckers that because of how heliocentric it is. She doesn't come off the floor. Everything runs through her, even the stuff.
Heliocentric?
That's what they call James and Luka, the players who everything revolves around that particular player.
He's not in a system. He is the system.
Exactly. She is the system. She is the system. So even the back cuts that they get that they were making layups off, that's all because of all the attention placed on her. So I imagine at the WNBA level, she will probably get better shots because she will be playing with better players.
Now, what did she does too? Now, she does average 10 assists a game, which is way more than Becker's. But she also averages 5.5 turnovers.
John, she averages.
Was throwing the ball around in the second quarter.
I don't know where you got your. She's 38% from three.
I got it right here. Comparing per games over the past six games. Oh, I'm sorry.
The
past six.
Oh, okay. The postseason.
Yeah, postseason.
Okay, I was going to say.
NCAA tournament.
Because she's a 38% shooter for her career.
Yeah, right. Okay. This is postseason. This is postseason. But the true shooting performance, true shooting is, it's going to be interesting to see. Becker's going to be. Here's the deal about the WNBA, though. You can't go out until after you're a senior. The WNBA won't draft you. You have to be. I'm pretty sure you have to be 21 or 22 years old.
So why is you have to be a certain age?
Yes,
because Becker's has had multiple season-ending injuries, so that's why she had a decision.
Well, Caitlin Clark is maybe 4 years removed from high school.
She is. She's played 4 years.
Caitlin Clark, because they don't want their sport. They can't afford to have it decimated like by early departures after 1 year and stuff. And Caitlin Clark's played 4 years.
Yeah, they. You know what? You do have to build up some. It's probably a pretty good rule. And you know what? It's helping their college basketball a lot.
And actually, we may not hear about this. They're asking if Caitlin Clark coming back. That's because she had a COVID year. Other than that, she wouldn't be coming back.
Yeah.
It's a four-year deal. It always has been a four-year deal. It's just COVID's really changed people's perception because you get a free year. But that's going to be over, I think, next year, potentially, unless it drifts into the 21 season, where – like, Jamal Shedd's been here 4 years, and he didn't take a redshirt year. You're usually done, but he's got a COVID year. So I'm really I really think he needs to think about this. I really do. Let's get Stafford in here before we get to a break, get back some more Astros. Did you watch LSU-Iowa? You guys can comment on that as well as Astro stuff. 713-780-3776. Stafford, what did you think of the game last night?
Hey, man. First things first. I don't want the Ronel Blanco, the no-hitter. I didn't see all of it because I was watching the game. But we got to fix Framber Valdez, man. They got to – Framber Valdez is the key. So if we're going to win a World Series, we got to fix him. But I'm not going to David Downer. I'm not going to take away from the no-hitter and all that. That was great. We needed that win. But my girl made me watch the LSU and Iowa game last night, and I'm actually glad I did. That was great. And I'm watching Caitlin Clark, and the whole time I'm just thinking, I'm like, dang, why couldn't James Harden play like this in an elimination game, man? Like, why couldn't he do this? But. Yeah, that's all that was running through my mind, man.
I know. That was –
Wait a minute. So you went from watching Caitlin Clark to James Harden, Elimination James?
That's right.
It would be nice if you could have played like Caitlin Clark. Boy, yeah, she lit it up last – she was a
– Well, Angel Reese was having a monster game, and then just offensively just
– Well, she – the ankle problem.
That probably played some into – she did end up with 20 rebounds, but – Caitlin Clark was making shots from like crazy distance. If you missed it, she had 41 points, double-digit assists. She ended up with 10 or 11,
something like that. Yeah.
Last night in the game, she ended up becoming the all-time three-point shooting leader, all-time.
She's the all-time
in tournament stuff too. Yeah. Assist leader, like she's got so many. She's got so many records, and then
so now she's got to go through Connecticut. And then probably South Carolina. That gauntlet that she's going through, if she does win it, holy crap.
Well, she's responsible for so many of the points.
And she,
it's going to be tough, though, to get past
UConn, first of all.
UConn, first of all, is going to be really
South Carolina.
And now you got Paige Becker. I thought it was Bukers. It's Beckers?
It's Beckers, yeah.
Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark is going to be a.
So how do you side, John? Because you started.
Oh, yeah.
It's a win for the Whites.
Whitey got the dub.
Yeah. So how do you approach
Connecticut
versus
Iowa? I avoided Twitter yesterday, so I didn't have to.
It was actually interesting because people were saying, look, what's her name? Kim Mulkey doing, look what she's doing for race relations by putting the white girl.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Manlith.
That was nice for her to take all the bullets.
Yeah. And more likely, she just didn't want to get Flage in foul trouble by having to guard Caitlin Clark for the entire game.
Yeah, but that's nice. Nice philosophy there, Kim.
Well, like Caitlin Clark scores on everyone. I get it. You got your star guard. You want to get in foul trouble. But John, where do you side
with Caitlin Clark?
Still. Even over Beckers.
Yeah. Oh, Caitlin Clark is the best thing that's happened to women's college basketball ever.
Yeah. No, it's like watching Tiger. Yeah. I mean, it just.
Yeah,
she transcends right now for me. Watches like I really want to see.
We
her
don't
play.
Even see color. It's just like Tiger.
You started it.
We don't even see.
Yeah, you
color.
Literally you said good day for the whites.
It's a win for the whites.
It Whitey. I said Whitey
no,
got the win.
That's not what you.
Yeah, how actually about, he did.
How about LSU fueled the fire before the game too?
What did they do?
They walked off the court for
see,
the I national.
They always do that.
They always do that.
Yeah.
But it's the first time that people have seen it.
Yeah.
And so everybody was outraged. And they
course,
do it every game.
They're never on the court.
They don't stand on the court.
Yeah, they
for
don't
the
show it
anthem.
On TV, did they? I didn't see it on TV.
No.
People who were there reported it, but yeah. It's been a thing for them all year
yeah.
long. Well, it didn't. I mean, for me, I didn't even know about it, but it was between watching that, which is a really good game, and then the Astros, it was good viewing. And we are watching somebody who's special. Like, Caitlin Clark is a really special player. It just. I've never seen a women's basketball player who plays the way she does on a consistent level. I've spent some great ones. And, of course, you know, I didn't spend a ton of time watching Candace Parker, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But all I know is watching Caitlin Clark last year when I first saw her, I'm like, holy crap, look at this range. And then she's fun to watch. There's certain players who just, you know, LeBron transcends a lot of things. Tiger transcended a lot of things. Watching Michael when he played. Shohei Ohtani, you don't want to miss, you know, what he does. And
yeah, you can't miss Caitlin.
And you don't miss Altuve's at bat in the playoffs for Altuve late in a game. You don't want to ever miss
I don't want to miss Jordan whenever he's up. Ever.
Right, but Caitlin Clark is just different. I mean, and even for people who love LSU and Angel Reese, it is different when a post player is making layups versus somebody who's bombing in from she hit one from 30 feet 3 inches yesterday, John. They were measuring it. Did you see that?
Yeah, no.
Oh, you wouldn't have seen it. They had a 30 feet. She had three threes. The first one was 26-7, then 28-1, then 28-3, and then 30 feet 1 inch. 30 feet 1 inch. You know how far behind the NBA mark that is?
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't exist. It's such a rarity that's what makes her special to watch. It's really not. It's not the other stuff. Like the assumptions that everything is racial or that it's just. I've never seen anybody play like her. This is a crazy thing to watch.
She's the Steph Curry. She's the Steph Curry of the sport. His range is stupid, and she's got that kind of range. Granato gets all his stats from Ballsack. I didn't see the qualifier that was for the last, yes, for the postseason. My apologies to everyone. Caitlin is a better shooter than that. And you know what? The guy in front of me needed Doc Linville. You were absolutely right, Dale. Because it's what stood out in the video. You know what? It's what stands out when people see your five head. When people see
that's
the
rude.
Gigantic
that is rude.
Divot out of the back of your head. It's what stands out. You know what? There's never been like a superhero with a gigantic bald spot, with male pattern balding. It just never has happened. You want to be a superhero or not? Then you need Doc Linville. Listen, if you're too young to be, I'm too young and I'm old. I'm too young to have a gigantic bald spot. I'm too young to be losing my hair. I went to Doc Linville, and Doc Linville did the job for me. He'll do the job for you, be it the neo-grafting, okay, which is a much bigger process, or the PRP. And Kelly's going to do an unbelievable job for you. You're looking for the best way to get hair. The most, listen, it's affordable, and it is the best process, period. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, let's go. What did you think, Ronel Blanco, last night? Let's go. How about that? Oh, can we get off Joe Espada now? All right. Can we stop already with the Joe Espada hate? Won a game, people. Won the game. 10-0 was your final. And Joe Espada, he talks about, you know, Blanco was a guy, he didn't start pitching until he was 18 years old. He's 30 now through his no-hitter. It's his eighth start.
Eighth start, and he gets a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And he's only been in the league 2 years as a 30-year-old late bloomer.
He was up and down, a yo-yo.
He's a car wash guy. I was listening to Steve Sparks was talking about. He worked at, have you heard the story? Yeah. Worked in a car wash and just to help his mom pay bills. And the Astros said, hey, you know, I know the car wash thing's going pretty good, but could we interest you in maybe pitching for a major league team at some point?
Yeah, how about
that? That's actually not happening. It wasn't the Astros.
Well, he yo-yoed up and down and was back. His first outing, he got lit up and he got sent back down. And he was just, he's a guy that, you know what, he really pissed his ass off this spring and deserved a spot in the rotation and maybe ahead of J.P. France. But J.P. France came through for you a big time last year. So you didn't know whether or not Renel Blanco would be able to handle it starting, you know, being in the starting rotation. And I guess he did. Here's Joe Espada last night afterwards.
This guy's been, his story, he's, you know, fantastic. Like, he, the way we, how we sign him from the DR, it's a pretty remarkable story. And his journey, he's in front of his family, he's, you know, his mom is here. And to do that in front of his, the people who love him and support him, it makes this even more special. What a week he's had. And, happy for him and his family.
Yeah, did you see the hug on the field afterwards? It was great. That's just awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, he had really had a changeup working, right? I mean, Joe Espada talked about that too. He's not overpowering, but man, his ball pops. It really pops.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you know, his changeup was awesome. Had him all off balance all night long. You know, who knows that he'll, I don't know. We don't know how he's going to end up pitching, but for one night, boy, he had everything going on. Here's a spot of talking about his changeup.
Middle of that game, how efficient he was, the swing he was getting. I started seeing signs of this could be a very special night. His changeup, changing speed. It's a pretty good lineup over there. So he makes the fastball and the slider that much better. The way it comes out of the hand, it looks just like his fastball, and hitters are committed to potentially swing at a fastball, and that ball just kind of falls in the zone, and it's a pitch that he's worked really hard on. It paid big dividends tonight.
Serious question, and this is not a hater comment. Does Dusty let Blanco finish?
Yeah, because he wasn't
at the pitch count.
He wasn't at the pitch count. The 100th pitch. Now, they were going to go 90 with him last night.
He did go over 100.
He did. The 100th pitch was the walk to George, I think.
And by then, you can't take it.
Then, yeah, you can. You got one out to go. No, when he was in the eighth inning, I was looking. After seven, I looked up. I was like, oh, man.
Because it was.
I think he was exactly at 80 through seven.
No, he was efficient because it was a blowout.
Yes. Well, even still,
if it was a 3-run game, I think Dusty goes and gets him.
Well,
and maybe a spotted up.
I think it was all about number of pitches. He was at 80 through seven. You can't take him out.
No. He's well, but we've seen it. We've seen guys get pulled by Dusty. We saw with AJ at 70 because he's not a guy that goes.
Abreu's not available and Hader's not available. Who are you going for? You're going to go in a 3-run game and take out a guy that's dominating for Presley?
No, I wouldn't, but that's typically what happens, though.
Right.
With Dusty and AJ, there's only two managers I can go off of. That's typically what they have done. Now, the difference is because you've got a guy who this isn't the total. He doesn't get to this many pitches. He's only got eight. The difference is now this is not somebody you're probably going to have in the starting rotation, you don't think, based on everyone coming back. He's 30. He's not a 24-year-old. Hunter Brown, he's not, you know, you may be looking at him differently. I also think Espada's going to do something. I think Espada might look at it differently where he's trying to maybe ingratiate the players towards him. Like, that's a player thing to let a guy keep going.
Well, and now listen, again, if he was at 120 pitches, yeah. I mean, if he was going into the eighth inning with 100 pitches, which happens a lot, and it happened with the Astros, with Dusty, he's gone out and got guys because their pitch count was so high. And somebody said, I don't know who it was, said if he didn't get if he didn't get Guerrero, that there was a possibility you were coming out to get him with two outs in the ninth, even at,
in a 10 in a, nothing,
nothing, lead? 10 nothing game. I mean, you gotta let
bro,
the kid. But
let
you do
finish.
Want you do want this though. You don't want to overthrow him, and you know,
right.
And for his arm to be, that's not the way you want him to start the season.
No,
they
but
probably
that's
didn't
not,
want him throwing 100.
That's not overthrowing, though. Honestly, no. One game at over 100 is not overthrowing.
No.
You're early in the year. You haven't had wear and tear. There's he didn't pitch in a World Baseball Classic. Like we got to quit acting like 100 pitches. Like how is this guy still standing? He's got 102 pitches. Like it's not. Historically, we know it's not really a killer. What makes it more is the consistent high pitch count, the pitching through the course of an entire year. It's the wear and tear. You know, he may not have the wear and tear, career wear and tear on his arm. Think about this. An American-born pitcher who's been in youth baseball, travel baseball, has his own pitching coach. All that stuff that goes into it. Multiple breaking pitches at an early age. I don't think that's probably Ronel Blanco's journey.
Again,
his journey is not pitching coach, travel baseball.
Again, he didn't start pitching till 18.
That's what I'm saying. The where I think we can probably assume that since studies have shown the arm difficulties happen a lot from young pitchers not putting a baseball down for the entire you know for as long as they need to keep throwing pitches they shouldn't throw. They're playing travel baseball. They're playing year round baseball. That was not what Blanco did. So he doesn't have that wear and tear on his arm.
Yep. Speaking of which, Justin Verlander threw 52 pitches, for those of you who didn't hear. And how many? Three innings.
Yep.
And 52 pitches in a simulated game and felt really good. Looks like he's going to get a rehab assignment coming up here shortly. So Justin Verlander on his way back. You got a win. How about that? You got Ronel Blanco looking really, really good. What do you do with the rotation now? Who's out of the rotation? Is it Fromber? Is Fromber out of the rotation now? If you go by the first game of the season for each pitcher, Fromber out. Beat it. You're out of the rotation now. I know you won an All-Star game whatever. I'm arbitration.
Man, we are
I made
done
a lot
with
money.
Guys so fast.
Well, he did. He didn't look right, okay?
No, it was a game.
I know it was one game.
It was a game. I got a text from somebody we both know. Like yesterday, he was like, can you guys stop? Tell John the world's not ending. And then he texted, see, they threw a no-hitter. Stop
the complaining.
What do you
mean? I said, I'm not even worried about the 0-4 start.
You were a little worried to start this show off.
What?
You were a little disappointed.
They sucked this weekend. That's all I said. They sucked. And they did suck. And by the way, all the games were competitive. All the games were competitive. But I'm the one that said that I still think they're going to have the best team ever. What are you talking about?
You're a spot of Singleton. You're a spot of Singleton.
What a-hole texted you that?
Somebody who knows you pretty
really?
Well.
Really?
Who thinks you're a real worrywart.
Okay, stop already. I'm the one that said.
You said it before. You didn't sound as sure yesterday.
Yes.
About
no.
your best Astros they, ever.
Well, I will say this. I'm not all that sure about the middle of the bullpen. I will say that.
Yeah, it'll get better.
And will it?
There's a lot of pitchers coming. Yeah.
Will it? Well, it has to
get
better.
We just talked about it, too. Garcia's coming back. JV's coming back. Yeah, it's going to get better. Either JP or Ronel are going to go. JP France or Ronel's going to be there.
Well, that'll be an interesting decision by them.
Or
they go to six-man rotation. Or they go to six-man.
Yeah, but six-man is to save people's arms.
Six man is, but you know what they've got coming up. Listen,
there's no reason to go six man unless you're working JV. But JV is a creature of habit. He's going to want his days to be exactly the way it's supposed to be.
You got a long stint of games without a day off.
Oh, then that's
when they go to six man.
Yeah, but will Verlander be back by then?
Verlander will be back. They've got days off right now, but they've got. Coming up, they've got a nice long stint where they probably will go. They're not afraid of six-man rotation. They've said this before. At the end of April and beginning of May, they've got a nice long run.
Well, whatever, I can say that I do believe that Dana Brown is going to have more influence. He did not have influence over Dusty. I do think he'll have some. Espada buys into a lot of the stuff that the front office has, as well he should, with his first GM
first GM job. I mean, managerial job. But I do think that you're going to see Espada. Like, if there is a philosophical ideology from Dana Brown about how to handle a six man rotation versus five, how to handle this, what we're doing on the base paths. We saw Jeremy Pena take off and get a steal a couple games ago. Like, you know, he had, well, the steal count was low last year. Jeremy took off, got in at second base. We may see them run more. We may see them handle some things differently on the base pass. Whatever Dana would like to do, I do think Espada is going to be more receptive to that. If that includes a six-man rotation, so be it. We'll see.
They go, if I'm reading this right, they go from May 6th to June 6th. That's impossible that they got. They go that long with just one day off on May 23rd. That's a nice long, that's a long stretch. So that will be, that might be the time where they go to a six-man rotation. And I think they're not opposed to it, especially with JV coming back. And now JV is the guy that goes, I'm pitching every fifth day. So you can mix up how the other guys are throwing, but I'm going every 5 days. We'll see if he's acceptable to going to a six-man rotation. It's a nice problem to have with Renault Blanco throwing the way he did last night. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk about my man Kent Jones over at DreamRate. DreamRate is where you get your mortgage on. DreamRate is, he's the underdog. He is the little guy. He is the guy that's doing it, all of this work, with no overhead. So he's fighting for you. While these other big guys that the mortgage game, that put their names on bowl games, you know how much that costs? You know why they have all that money? Because they make all that money. Because they're making all that money on you and your mortgage. The way to go is through a mortgage broker. I never did. I'm dumb, okay? I wish I had had a mortgage broker. I had no idea. You just, when you're signing your mortgage, you just go, oh, here's this one. Here's a fee. Here's a fee. Here's a fee. Kent Jones is working to eliminate those fees for you. Like, you're literally saving thousands of dollars. He saved people thousands of dollars at signing and throughout the course of the mortgage just because he worked on it. While the other guys, they just, here fee, here fee, here fee, and then they were able to put their names on bowl games. Kent Jones, you're never going to see the Kent Jones Bowl, the DreamRate Bowl, ever. Because Kent is just working that deal for you and saving you as much money. He's been doing this forever. He's been in the business for over 25 years, and he is going to continue to do that, and he's going to do it for you. 713-520-5626, 713-520-5626, that's 713-526-LOAN, or go to 975atloans.com.
DreamRate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6 to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Your mock draft comes out today.
Yep. It's a new mock. It's aggressive. I almost thought about putting the Texans, having them get into the first round. You know what? I've decided who I want. I want Tavondre Sweat. I know he's 365. I know he kept his weight the same, at least from his, from the combine to the pro day. I'm worried that he's going to be 390, 400 pounds, and he could, like Lewis Nix. Remember, Lewis Nix was a nothing out of Notre Dame. Couldn't keep his weight down.
Vince Wilfork was.
But, man, Vince was a big-boned guy, but he...
Who was the gravedigger for the Packers?
Gilbert. But Gilbert Brown is just sloppy. That's not... Those guys, you don't see those guys as much because there's so much nickel, right?
Yeah.
There's so much passing.
Yeah.
Those guys just don't play a whole lot. But my gosh, Tavondre, if you're going to have 287-pound defensive tackles, wouldn't it be nice to have just a total drain clogger in there? Just
drain clogger seems a bit disrespectful.
Drain clogger is one of the ultimate compliments you can play to a run stop.
That's where you get
hair. No. Yeah. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order.
That's a huge compliment. You're a drain clogger. You can't.
Drain clogger.
You can't sip. It's you can't
gross stuff run in there. Stuffer, maybe.
Now, who cares says a run stuffer?
Drain clogger.
Drain clogger means there ain't nothing's getting through this drain. Nothing.
Drano. Then you just get some Drano.
No.
Or you call Billy Brown.
Or Snake.
Billy Brown can't get
Tavondre
Sweat up out of that hole.
Billy Brown can't get Tavondre Sweat up out of there. John.
What?
He's disrespecting our guy.
Yeah, that's Billy Brown. That's our guy.
I talked about Billy yesterday on the show. You're disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah.
Aqueduct Plumbing.
The best plumbing guy, worst golfer. Billy Brown. What a combo. Okay.
I kind of want Sweat. Because that's really what's missing right now. Because I was looking at other stuff like...
Well, there's guys, how many Jordan rounds Jefferson, did you do?
Only one.
Oh.
I'm not a lunatic.
Right. Okay, so you don't have them moving
I
up.
I thought I almost had them trade in...
After trading out?
I almost had them trade into the back half of the first. But yeah, it's just
I wouldn't put that past Nick.
No, I wouldn't put it past him at all. It could be... And I do think that they could trade up in the second round. They have the 42nd pick. I could see them trading into the top five picks of the second round, for sure. But I looked at the draft capital it would take. I had four first-round picks or first-round trades. Does that feel like a lot to you?
Not really.
It's not. Last year there were six. The year before there was nine.
Yeah.
And the year before that there was three. People act like this is crazy. It's not. I had Arizona trading back, Monty Osfort, out of the number four spot.
It's smart.
Trading back. And then I had him trading back up to get a guy he wanted. He's got so much draft capital. At some point, you got the ammunition to go get players you love. I had Arizona with three picks in the first round.
Yeah,
they traded up and got their hands on Brian Thomas. They traded. I had them trading with the Minnesota Vikings, and I had the Giants trading with the Patriots. So I had the Patriots trading back to six, and I had because I had them trading with Minnesota and taking two firsts. That probably would be more likely. But once I got to the 11th pick and I had Minnesota taking a tackle, I'm like, I don't know. I got all the way to this Patriots second pick at 23, and I rearranged it. I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting the value that I wanted. If I'm not going to get a quarterback, I need to get more value.
So what do you? Okay.
So I flipped it, and so, I had them switching three and six.
So what? So give me your quarterback order now.
So this is how I predicted it in this. I said, okay. Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2. I said Giants to 3. So when I first had the Vikings moving up to 3, I had J.J. McCarthy because he feels just like a Kevin O'Connell guy. Very Kirk Cousins-y, I mean, an athletic guy who can run an offense, makes reads. But then when I did the Giants there, I said, you know what? That's Drake May. Because the Giants, Brian Daboll had Josh Allen. So Brian Daboll seen kind of the young stallion. He's seen a big body guy. Now, I don't think he's Josh Allen, but I could see Brian Daboll saying, you know what? We can harness this.
If I'm the Giants, am I letting – this is Brian Daboll's. He's hanging on, okay? So I'm not letting Brian Daboll make this decision.
Well, he's your coach, so you're right. He doesn't get to make the decision, but if you are working in conjunction with him,
yeah,
I could see where he could say, look, if they had the fourth – Well, if they have the third pick, my guess is that maybe he would go with him over the young guy. I mean, they're both young guys, but at least he has more. Drake May has more experience. I basically just plugged in. So I've got four quarterbacks in a row. I had Giants making that trade, and then I have Minnesota because I just don't think Minnesota made these trades to not come away at the quarterback. So I had Minnesota moving up to four because I think Monty Osenfort will make a trade back, and I think Elliott Wolf will consider it. Now, if Jaden Daniels is there at three, it wouldn't shock me if they – I just don't know how these guys have these quarterbacks ranked. I just don't know. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Drake May or McCarthy went two. I could see the Patriots sitting tight and drafting.
What's the history Jaden on Daniels? Four straight quarterbacks?
Never.
Yeah. It's against the odds. But
against the odds.
But you got a lot of teams that need quarterback right now.
Yeah.
And they're in tradable neighborhoods.
That's what I said, is that this is a rare instance where you've got desperate teams like Denver Denver's sitting at, they just don't have enough draft capital to do it. They don't have even have a second rounder.
A lot of times, even if a team is really crappy, they won't need a quarterback at the top.
Yeah.
The top three teams in this draft all need quarterbacks.
Well, the Giants could conceivably sit tight and just see what shakes out. Because there is an outside chance it could go quarterback, 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 wide receiver, quarterback to the Giants.
Yeah. So where do we see you're going to do some TV today or whatever, yeah. some podcast? Or,
yeah, I'll do Mock Draft Live. Will be on TV tonight.
Is this on NFL Plus or something?
NFL Network. On all streaming platforms.
Oh, be. NFL Network.
It's the TV, yeah.
It's the TV show. So they're putting you.
Colleen Wolf, who got in trouble over the. We didn't get to that yesterday. Colleen Wolf. I'll share it on the other side. We'll get back to the Astros too. But Colleen Wolf got in some trouble by Woody Johnson. I was worried for Colleen. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah. You know, the NFL owners own NFL Network. You know that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we'll talk about it on the other side.
Yeah.
But, and
yeah,
by
so
the way,
mock draft
oh,
comes
your
out.
Cardinals owners got in some trouble too. Okay. So the little guy, the Caitlin Clark, it was a big day for the little guys. Caitlin, okay.
They're the one seed.
Yeah, but they're the underdogs.
Right? Well, they were a 2.5-point favorite.
But they're still, it was an uphill battle all the way that no one thought they could do it.
They were the favorite.
Okay. No one thought.
Her over-under was 31.5 points.
So, and she way over. So yeah, it was over. A big day for the little people, including a former Cardinal executive who beat, for the first time ever, an NFL owner lost in a case. First time ever.
Really?
Yeah. Right now, though, let's talk about Houston Safe and Lock. There's Derek DeSola. How about this? Okay, the men's tournament, the final game is Monday night. Can you pick the winner? Do you think you know who's going to win? Okay, well, here's the deal. You go to Houston Safe and Lock, buy you a, before the games on Saturday, up until Friday night, before the games on Saturday, okay, you buy a new safe from Houston Safe and Lock. You pick the winner of that game on Monday night between the men's national championship. You pick that winner, and you get 50% off on that safe that you bought before. Okay? How about that? This is a great time. If you need a safe, people, okay, you got a business, you need a safe. You got a gun, you don't have your safe. You want a safe. Okay, what about being able to pick the winner and getting 50% off on that? If it's your business and you need a safe, that's an expense. Put that money back in your pocket. Put it back to your bottom line when you buy the safe from Houston Safe and Lock and pick the winner for the men's basketball championship on Monday night, April 8th. What I need you to do is go to 975safe.com, 975safe.com, or get to one of the two locations, West Hummer and Beltway, or Wirt and I-10. That's King Safe and Lock, same company. 975safe.com. Pick the winner and get 50% off.
Moon and Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.